Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you.
Or just San Diego in general.
Or it's fucking San Diego, drunk ass town.
Yeah. San Diego's the Wisconsin's the beer capital of the country, then San Diego is the alcoholic capital of the country.
It very much is, man. Out of all the cities I've been to thus far in my 32 years of living, even fucking Vegas, I don't even think as much as the alcoholic town as fucking San Diego.
You know,
you would think, obviously Vegas, Sin City, but no.
Nah, they doing something else than drinking. That's crack.
Yeah, they doing other shit. that's on the story. San Diego. If you try to get liquored up, go to the Gaslamp District in San Diego.
Or just stick your head out the door or whatever you in San Diego, you know? You might
all over San Diego County.
Instead of throwing like newspapers in the morning, they throw liquor bottles at you.
Yeah. I heard, might knock your ass out. So keep your head up.
I heard Dana White say this last night after the UFC pay-per-view, which I wanted to slap the shit out of Dana for saying that shit. He threw a diss at LA and said, Miami now is what LA was 10 years ago, or whatever. It's booming over here. Everybody loves Miami. It's the greatest city in the country, or whatever and shit. And I was like, shut the fuck up, Dana, please. And then it dawned on me because he was like, everybody comes here to drink, have fun, or whatever and stuff. I was like, that's not true. That is not true because the drink's too goddamn expensive. You want to get fucked up and drink or whatever, you go to San Diego. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. As fun as Miami is, it ain't got shit on San Diego. That's a whole nother beast. That's a whole nother beast or whatever and shit, you know. Ain't no pretentiousness out in San Diego.
Trust us. We spend many a moon night in San Diego.
Speaking from experience,
we know all about San Diego.
I got raped
before we even met each other. We have experience in San Diego.
I got raped in bushes out there. Okay, ain't no bushes in Miami.
My sandwich disappeared.
We was with some girls, or whatever, and like I don't even remember what I told this girl, or whatever. And I just know we were feeling each other, or whatever. Apparently, she was feeling me way more than I was feeling her, or whatever. She shoved my ass in them bushes, or whatever, and I was just like, I got thorns in my ass, Cody.
I think he was literally screaming for help and called me specifically. I was trying to handle my own shit. I was like, no. Get away from me.
I was like, there's people walking by.
Probably busy like, over here.
Yeah, there's people walking by my ass just high. Like,
I don't even know why he called for me, my drunk ass. I'm going to be able to do shit.
You better just look on your foot. He fine. Shit, I was like hollering too. I was like,
why the fuck?
I'm Cody. I'll tell you this right now. I ain't never been manhandled like I have in San Diego. Okay, so
I was like, yeah.
Miami.
Well, my memory is very vague that night because I was fucked up. But I do kind of remember that Bush incident. Though. I looked over there. I was like, what the hell is going on? I saw like figures. And I saw like highlights of the Bush. And I was like, is he enjoying this? I can't tell.
I was. I just remember a belt came off, and next thing you know, I'm in bushes. I was like, oh.
I just remember figures in a bush rocking back and forth. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I was trying to talk to this girl I was with, and then your ass called for help and shit.
I sound like Phoenix Jones.
Like all over the place.
Like Phoenix Jones is just, hell. I love how people are just walking by like it's normal in San Diego, just like, oh, it's fine. It's just there.
No better way to make shit unsexy than get some thorns in your ass. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I got a lizard up my ass.
But hey, you still going? You still went through.
Hey man,
the old JB way.
Yeah, you know,
you had to. You had to keep it going.
That 24-year-old Jay, that motherfucker was a monster. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That motherfucker was a monster. You know what I'm saying?
How about Trailblazers? That motherfucker.
Shit. Like Nas said, I'm on fire, baby.
Yeah. OG Trailblazer. Yeah.
That track was a dedication to 24-year-old Jay. Yeah. That track. I'm on
fire. No more trails to blaze.
Yeah. They ain't nobody doing that to me now or whatever. I noticed even gay dudes don't even look at me no more. They just go like, you ain't shit. Like gay dudes used to be on me like with the quickness. Now they don't even blink an eye towards me no more. It's like, damn, once you hit 30, that's just it, I guess. Huh? They just like, they can smell the 30 off of you, huh? They just like, smell like old Negroes. No, I don't want that or whatever.
Dirty, black, unsuccessful.
Smells like cocoa Ew. Butter. Cocoa butter and frustration I get off this Negro. I can't do it. Whatever. I'm going to tell you this right now. That never happened to me in Miami. I've been to Miami many times.
Mm-hmm.
Most things that happen to you in Miami, whatever, is you spend about $400 on one night and you go like, damn, what did I do? You wake up by yourself in a hotel with a pizza in your face for some reason.
It's always fucking pizza.
You're like, what the fuck?
Never a sandwich. Never a salad. Never had some hot Cheetos. It's always a fucking pizza.
Oh, shit. And you trying to figure out, why is that red shit on the wall? You think it's blood. Don't even turn
yeah,
out.
Yeah, like, no, that's tomato sauce.
Yeah, tomato sauce and cranberry juice for some reason. Yeah, that's marinara.
It's like, so for some reason, it's always pizza with olives. Like, yeah. Why the fuck do they get these olives?
I'll tell you
what. There are meat lovers. Ain't none of that shit. This is pizza with some fucking olives.
Yeah, in San Diego, girls are trying to fuck you. In Miami, girls are fucking you. and not in the way you want to. No. That's all.
Everybody gets fucked in Miami one way or another.
That's true. Yeah, that's why when Dana said that, I was like, Negro, please. If we was like Miami 10 years ago, then goddamn shit. No wonder motherfuckers out here committing suicide and shit. Miami fun, people. Don't get me wrong, whatever, but would you waste a trip on that?
I've never been, honestly. I just heard a bunch of stories. So I would just venture out, just experience at least once.
I feel like
you'd rather that, just go to an island. Fill it out.
I feel like you just rather go to an island or something like that. Like, you know, you just rather,
I think Miami is it's just the name recognition. That's all that is.
I tell you this right now, Miami's fucking expensive. Like it is. Like
I know. Every person I've talked to, every friend I have that's been going to Miami, they all said the same shit.
And there was a point in my time where I was going every year before I flew out of the country. So to meet up with homegirls and friends and shit like that. And for some reason, I think I did this one year too. We recorded. And maybe I did it by myself because I was overseas or whatever. I was like, I think I went to Spain and Portugal that year. And I remember going like, I think I just spent more in Miami than I did in both of these two countries.
I heard, man. I heard Miami. The upcharge on that shit is insane.
Oh, and the liquor,
fucking
Cody.
Somewhere like Los Angeles.
And Cody, the liquor is bullshit too. That's bullshit.
Probably no good shot there, right?
Yeah, nah. Dude, you a craft beer guy? You ain't.
Oh yeah, I get it. As far as Florida goes, you gotta venture the fuck out.
Whiskey,
probably like good breweries in Florida.
Man, your whiskey hunting ain't a hunt.
Florida, I hear about no stores in Florida. No. None. Maybe there might be like one or two, but I ain't never fucking heard of them.
And there is one that I know of, but they overcharge out the ass. Like, you would be like,
yeah,
you'd be pretty much broke. But, you know, hey, if you're looking for that Beach City vibe, whatever and stuff you got, for, because I might be making another trip out there, because I got friends out there I need to see and stuff. Man, and some of them, you look at that and go like, man, I could have just went to Hawaii. Hawaii got better.
Yeah, I love Hawaii, man. And then, from what I've heard, it's cheaper, so.
Yeah, and hotels in Hawaii, you know, they're expensive as shit, but the alcohol is legit in Hawaii. By the way, people, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I'm your Godfather Whiskey, J.B.
I am the Godfather of craft beer, but today I will be the Godfather of wine. It's Cody.
Wine and things or whatever and stuff. Wine. It is our anniversary month here, people, on The Last Drop.
That is true.
It is our anniversary. Well, we've only had 1 week so far. This is the second week of our anniversary month, and we've just been anniversarying things up a little bit here, you know. It's only fitting.
It's yeah. only fitting.
We did last week. The theme of this month is anniversary bottle editions. You know, just things that either have the word anniversary in it, or something you would just open up on an anniversary, whether it's your sister's engagement, their relationship, your job, whatever the fuck it may be, anniversary month to you, whatever the stuff, you know, your 1 year, not having to suck dick for to pay your rent, you know, whatever your anniversary.
Celebration. All wins.
It's 1 year that you ain't done crack in a while. You know, I mean, you know, it's 1 full year that you've been drinking straight liquor. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a great year to have, you know. I don't fuck with those that I've gone 1 year without it. I mean, I don't trust you. I'm sorry. It's a little weird for me, you know. You went a whole year without having a sip of liquor. Come on now. You gotta be old yourself.
Weirdo.
I see people post that sometimes, like, oh, I'm taking a break from liquor. I'm like, why do you need to take a break?
I'm about to say, just drink that shit in moderation. You gotta take a break, man. Well, what are you, an alcoholic or what? I gotta say, if you're an alcoholic, but you ain't gotta take a whole break. just sip less, like I do. You gotta stop sipping. What? That'd be just boring as fuck.
Drink smarter. Sip less. I'm telling you.
Drink smarter, not harder. There you go.
Drink smarter, yeah. And
harder as in not drinking at all. That's what I mean by harder.
If you're taking like 10 fireball shots in one night, yeah, you probably don't deserve another drink in your life then.
I was about to say, drink better. Yeah. That's part of that too.
By the way, I want to put a disclaimer out there. I'm not talking shit about Miami. I love Miami. It's got some of the most beautiful women in the goddamn
Miami country. Is fantastic. From what I've heard, it's fantastic.
It's got some of the most beautiful women in the goddamn country, I must say. I mean, it is.
Minus the prices.
Yeah, minus the prices or whatever. But I'll tell you this. You know that woman got a good job, Dan. She's living out there.
I would say so. She is getting paid handsomely.
She's getting paid very handsomely, whatever. Mm-hmm. So everything's doing just fine out there, then, or whatever. So, and it's got a lot of diversity in those women out there, too. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, though, y'all dudes out there ugly as fuck, though. So. I mean, they just ugly as fuck. I mean, there's some...
I've heard that before, too.
Some booger wolf looking ugly motherfuckers. I mean, like, Jesus Christ. Like, it's no wonder it's y'all...
Hunchback from Notre Dame looking motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's no wonder that Miami's the highest lesbian couple of the country.
Oh, there you go. Well, hey.
I mean, I just made that statistic up in my head, but still, you know, I think it's true, so...
If you said it, it must be true, then.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I'll just tell you this. There's a lot of dryness out there. And it ain't because of that sand.
I was about to say, not because of the sand.
It ain't because of that weather, Cody. And it's because a woman got to dig in her purse to pay for some broke-ass Negro she with or whatever. So,
yeah, this is dating sun-dried tomatoes, basically.
Yeah, and it's something about...
Dry, wrinkly.
It's something about a woman having to dig in her purse paying for some broke-ass Negro that dries up the, you know what, just area real quick. Yeah, It is her panties telling, do not give this man any. He ain't worth your time.
He's not.
But that's a lot of Miami men, so I feel sorry for y'all out there with your Miami boy.
Well, hey, they chose to live there. They should know by now. I don't feel sorry. y'all know what y'all get yourselves into.
Hey, yeah, that's true. Get yourself an L.A. dude. Hey, they're classy.
Yeah, about to say. Yeah, we're classy.
Classy.
We're good looking.
beautiful Latinas out there too, as well. You know, of all countries too. Oh my God, all over Cuba, Puerto Rico, Dominican, Venezuela, Argentina. I mean, no wonder I was going out there every year.
no shit. Yeah. I know you and Latin women.
Oh my God. Hey, you know, Spanish is the sexiest language in all of the world, Cody. You know that, right?
It is. It's a very romantic language.
I mean, could you imagine? I think Aries Spears cracked that joke. He said, imagine someone, he's like, ladies, imagine the Indian dude on top of you speaking Indian or whatever. So ain't nothing sexy about that.
God, I didn't want to get in that. I could turn so many fucking ways. Oh, no. I didn't want to know this.
Everybody knows Aries Spears does like impressions or whatever and stuff. Oh, man.
Oh, God. I didn't want to know, dude. Don't even want to know.
He did this one. Because he was talking about... I think he was talking about in the Middle East why they like try to cover up their women and stuff like that, and they're beautiful as hell and stuff like that. And he was like, Indian men, he was like, they fucking ugly though.
He's like, but Jesus Christ.
But then he was like, I noticed a lot of men are ugly as fuck though. They ain't got no swag or no coolness to them at all, like a brother does or whatever. And I was just like, you know what? Hey man, I was like, hey, I'll raise my glass, man. I was like, thanks for the compliment, brother. Yeah. He did that impression of that, and I was just like, oh, that's fucked up.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah,
impression. I didn't want to hear that shit.
Oh, no, I could never do it. I think my Indian accent would be terrible if I tried that. Because you know why? My Indian accent would sound like Bikram. You remember Bikram Yoga?
Yeah, yep.
That's exactly. It was funny because I was talking with an Indian girl who I was seeing for a little bit, and she was like, oh, every comedian does that, like that voice. Like, and she was like, no man in India talks like that. So I was just like, so I showed her a video of Bikram, and her mouth was just dropped. She was like, fuck you. Of course, you'd be the one to find the one that talks like that. People, if you don't know who Bikram is, look him up. That man is a...
he's very knowledgeable about many things.
Yeah, that's one word.
There's one way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what else.
His piss cures cancer, apparently.
That's what I'm saying. The dude's basically Jesus, pretty much.
Yeah, so if you've got cancer, I guess let Bikram piss on you if you can find him. I know he's around. He said women commit suicide for him.
It ain't on some R. Kelly shit either. It's just make you feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, Bikram should have been a rapper, to be honest. I mean, should have been a fucking rapper. You know, he's like Dylon from, you know, Real, whatever the fuck that show was, the Diddy show.
Real World.
What was the hip hop show?
Shit. Fuck.
Chappelle made fun of that. Damn, I don't remember what it's called now.
Yeah.
Now, whatever that show was called or whatever, next hip hop band or whatever, something like that or whatever. Yeah. What?
Oh, this is Making the Band. That was
Making the Band. There you go. No. Making the Band. That was
okay.
Making the Band. Yeah. Bikram should have been on there with Dylon.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been talking about who the top five greatest MCs of all time and stuff, you know, which is a perfect segue into Cody's number two.
Number two.
Hip hop. Artist influence on his list. I guess we can just go ahead and call this a top 10 list because at the end of the year, that's what it's going to end up being.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
More or less.
And I know you just ain't going to put some random dude on there that ain't in your top 10 of all time.
Hell, No. God, no. Not at all.
I hope Drake is on there for you.
Yes, that's actually, he is my number two. It's Drake. Thank you for spoiling it. I wanted to introduce this my way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had a whole fucking thing built up. I know people think I hate Drake.
Yeah.
Secretly, I like, y'all, shut the hell no.
Y'all look alike. No. I mean, y'all like the same skin tone. Y'all have the same haircut, I think, or whatever. I mean, y'all both from Canada, I think, or whatever. You look like you could have joined them on Degrassi. I mean, y'all really ain't got much comparisons, actually, now that I think
about it. No, we have none.
Yeah. Now both like scarves, I think.
Maybe.
I don't
know that motherfucker styles. I couldn't tell you, brother.
That motherfucker styles. I woke up and saw some shit in my closet. Or whatever.
You know better than that because I have no clue. I have no reference. I thought his music sucks ass. Anyway.
Oh, his music is fucking terrible. So
yeah, I can't. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole podcast on its own. No, fuck Drake. My artist is actually it's a band.
It's Nelly.
A duo.
St. Lunatics.
No. Jesus Christ. What the fuck?
Nelly and the St. Lunatics, please. Come on. Jesus
Christ.
You didn't like that song Air Force Ones, Cody?
No. Did not like Air Force Ones.
Actually, funny enough, that made me stop wearing Air Force Ones after a
while. Jesus. No, at that time, that was what I was saying on that bullshit music. I liked the song at the time, but fuck that song now. That shit's terrible. Fucking marketing song, bro. What the? They were literally just talking about shoes in the fucking song.
I think Nelly recently came out. I saw like a little Instagram post, him coming out saying like, Air Force Ones used to be $50 until he made that song. Nike shot the price up, and he ain't ever seen a residual for
it. It is cool making little, you know, novelty songs and shit like that, but that shit was terrible.
The funny thing is, there's a track out there that's, I wouldn't say produced by Air Force One, but DJ Primo is on the beat. Nas, Rakim, KRS-One, Kanye West, they did a track.
Classic.
Yeah, Tony, yeah. That's what it's called. Classic.
Yep.
And it's based off the Air Force One, I think it was 50th anniversary or something like that or whatever. I forgot what anniversary was for Air Force Ones. And they did like a concert tribute show or whatever. And that was the main track of the show. And I
remember it. Yep.
That song had nothing to do with shoes. It was just called Classic with three of the greatest MCs. But literally three of the greatest MCs of all time, whatever, with probably the greatest DJ of all time on there. And a guy that was up and coming, I guess.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
More or less. But yeah, that was a really good song. And I totally forgot that was actually based. This is kind of like a promotion kind of type of thing. I totally forgot about that. But you're absolutely right. Yeah, that was a dope fucking song. That's an example of how to do songs like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to promote something, you know, be.
And for a Nas fan and a Rakim fan and a KRS-One fan, but. I never just thought I would see these three together on a track before. I was just like, shit.
And DJ Premier?
Oh, and you got the one of the greatest DJs of all time on it? Yeah, it was legendary. So, yeah, that's how you do a... funny enough, you'll see the shoot in the music video a few times, too. Like, spray painting on the wall and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's how you do a promotional for a shoot like that. You don't actually call the song Air Force One. Get a stomp in your Air Force Ones, Cody.
Fuck that shit. No, no Drake. My artist here is a duo. If you're a true hip hop aficionado, fanatic, you will know a whole lot about this group. They'll be very familiar to you. This shouldn't come as a shock. Actually, I hear people talk a lot about this group, and it's particularly one member of it, but I don't hear about it on a lot of people's lists, I've noticed. And this group is EPMD.
Yeah, man.
I don't see them a whole lot.
You know who list they are on though?
I don't.
Eminem's. That's his favorite. That's his favorite.
Say what you will about Eminem's music, but he's a hip hop aficionado. He knows the fuck he's talking about. I believe.
EPMD is one of the top three or five greatest groups of all time.
Yep. Both of them hailing out from Long Island. Mm-hmm. New York, they contributed to that whole New York sound. What it came to be in the 90s, what we used to love. Unfortunately, it's not here anymore. But that typical kind of like deep, you know, lived in kind of I don't want to say weathered, but you know, it has like this grounded, almost kind of gritty feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
At least most of the music, at least that's the way it spoke to me. And I love it too. The first album, Strictly Business.
Strictly Business is one title track. Legendary album.
Come on, man.
Came out the year I was born, 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking fantastic. Some people forget that EPMD, because they've been together since 1986. Some people forget they even got together that long ago. Some people think it was in the 90s.
Right.
No, they've been together since 86, if I'm not mistaken. And Strictly Business came out in 1988, which... funny enough, that album is sampled so heavy. Oh my god!
Yeah. Bob Marley, you got Bob Marley samples on there.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot on there, man. But
you got to chill. Come and on, that's the classic song.
You got to chill. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. Who doesn't love you got to chill?
That's why I love that EPMD on King's Disease 2 with Nas. I mean, Nas was just quoting.
Yeah.
That first verse, he was quoting so many. He has a song. Nas has a song called "Carry On Tradition," where he talks about you can't call yourself a hip hop aficionado if you don't know these legendary lines. And in that song, EPMD, that first verse. He is just quoting EPMD tracks like crazy in there, whatever. Like some of them flew over your head. I had to listen to it a second time, and I was just like, "Oh, I didn't even remember hearing that, or whatever." But like, if you are like Cody said, a true hip hop aficionado, and you heard that track, you'd be like, "Damn, Nas is just like spitting a whole catalog right now, whatever." So EPMD, man, woof.
Yeah. Another reason why I credit this band to. Not just being like hip hop legends, it's just being like music legends in general. I think they're so underrated because they inspired so much, not just within the hip hop community, but even across genres. Like, probably my favorite band of all time, minus Daft Punk, is Rage Against the Machine. And Rage, they did a whole cover album. Back in the 90s, and one of their tracks was "I'm Housing," and "I'm Housing" is one of the best fucking EPMD tracks to me. I love that track from them, and I love "Rage's Take 2," and they both have such a contrast. They both have similar meanings, but they have take different kind of takes on it. That's why I love them so much as well. And they're up there with the upper echelon of the duos too, man. Like Run DMC, Public Enemy, even went on tour with some of these dudes.
Cool Mo D, they were all them.
Come on, even on tour with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Yep.
If y'all heard of them.
They were like silent hitters in the 90s. They ran the 90s. They had an album almost every other year. They had an album every other year in the 90s or whatever. If I'm not mistaken, their last album was Out of Business. Not their very last album, but their last album of the 90s was Out of Business. And it was like a deluxe edition disc or whatever and stuff. And that album was fire. Their first three albums, you had Strictly Business, Business as Usual, and Business Never Personal.
Yep.
All three of those albums was fucking chef's kiss or whatever and stuff. I almost thought Business as Usual was one of my favorite albums from them. I thought that album was fucking fantastic. I went back recently and listened to Strictly Business. Strictly Business still hits, it's hard as hell. Business Never Personal's got a lot of few tracks on there I love too as well. they're still making tracks too, if I'm not mistaken. They had a single for the Top Gun film.
Yep, they did. I forgot what it was called, but they did.
I think it was. But wait, wasn't it I think it might have been the title of I think it was called Top Gun, dude.
It was Top Gun.
Yeah, you know what? Let me look it up first, bro. Start talking shit.
Right.
Motherfucker be like, yeah, you ain't no artist. You don't know shit.
You ain't no aficionado.
Yeah, here it is.
Fucking think you is.
Why that shit sounds so sinister, too? Like you in some 1990s New York rave shit or whatever and stuff, like with the neon lights or whatever, you walking down an alley or whatever, you like looking around. It's got that, not like the a synth noir vibe to it.
It's a retro wave. It's definitely retro wave. Retro wavy.
Diabolical and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I love about all these old school hip hop?
Yeah, it's like dark synth. Dark synth vibe to it.
I love old school hip hop vibes. Whenever they always have that old DJ scratching the tracks in there, that's just classic hip hop right there. Whenever you hear that, you just like I don't care what they say in the track; it's gonna be great.
Right? Yeah. I think that's a mark of greatness. That the old school record scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
I don't know what it is. Most people it brings back a vibe to it or whatever. It's like
yeah, it does. Yeah, it makes you a little nostalgic. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yeah, I can see that. Most people probably know of one half of EPMD from one popular track that came out in the early 2000s. That's of course Just Like Music.
Yep,
Eric Sermon featuring the classic Marvin Gaye sample. Great fucking song. I remember it was attached to that Martin Lawrence movie back in the day. It's called What's Something. I forgot what it's called. What's the worst that could happen? Some shit like that.
Yeah.
movie was kind of mid, but great song. Great soundtrack. Yep. Come on, man. Yep. Great track. Such a cool fucking track, man.
Oh, and he had that other track too with Red Man called React. Mm-hmm. That was another good track.
And Sermon. Yep. Eric Sermon is just fucking so underrated.
You know, speaking of underrated, Red Man's on that track. Red Man's so underrated too.
Red Man's so underrated.
That dude's got some bars like crazy or whatever. Eric Sermon, You Ain't Never Lied. Just like new, come on and music. That's how you do it, Childish Gambino.
You know, Eric Sermon kind of gives me like vibes, or reminds me of. He kind of has like MF Doom kind of thing going for him.
He's a little bit more not so undergroundish MF Doom or whatever. Yeah,
right.
I can hear that vibe. That
cadence of his flow.
You know, there was a thing too about Eric Sermon and the rest of them too as well. You could understand what the fuck they were talking about.
He goes, "Yep," and they always had something to say. You listen to them clearly, you understand them. And they always actually had something to say.
We got to get back to that, Cody. We got to get back to that.
We can only hope.
I'm tired. We can only hope, bro. Just like you. Make me call a homie on the phone like there's something new out that got me in the zone. If you listen to today's hip-hop and you told me, if I play the song, you told me I don't like that track.
I would just turn my head, walk away slowly.
I slapped the shit out of you. I think you deserve to get slapped the shit out of. I got to tell you. That's one of them tracks that like nobody can hit on, shade on. Like that's
wow. Right, production, the sample, the lyrics.
Man, you know what it is about the old school hip hopers too, whatever, the MCs? They know how to sample old shit.
They
too.
Know how to sample stuff. There's a man. Way to sample things. There's a way you can just butcher a sample. Yeah, that track right there, that's like one of the best like mainstream. Like with like heavy radio play type songs,
yeah.
I've never heard.
Easy. Yeah, I mean, yeah. We were talking about butchering samples today because
There's the way to do it. There's a way to not do it. This is the way to do it. So that's why we pay tribute and it compliments the rapper well too.
Yeah,
you don't do too much with because
dude, yeah. There's some samples I hear today. I'm just like, why the fuck would you ruin that dude's legendary track like that? Yeah. I mean, and then they like they do something with it. They put their own little cadence beat on top of it too, whatever. And like, right. it just murders the whole fucking flow of that beat. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know why you did that or whatever. Whereas like Eric Sermon here, he compliments this shit. This is how you know you the old guy at the club. You and then,
yep.
When this track comes on, or whatever. I think they played this in the trailer for that Martin Lawrence movie too.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh man, that was smooth right
so
there.
The tribute to music, man. It's a beautiful fucking song, man. It's a really good song.
This is like Stevie Wonder jumping on the Daft Punk Get Lucky track, right? Like, this is what this is for right there. Like, that is, oh, man.
Stuff like that, maybe wish Marvin Gaye didn't pass away so early.
Oh.
So they had, like, a live performance of this, man. Could you imagine that? Like, a Grammys? Come on, man.
I mean, I wish Marvin Gaye was a hip-hopper because he would have been my number one on here. Because Marvin Gaye, even though we was...
Marvin Gaye is great.
We was talking about that track, Sexual Healing, making fun of the video and stuff like that. Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye is fantastic.
If you putting on some Marvin Gaye and for you and your lady and she ain't moved or excited or anything about that or whatever, then Negro is you.
I was about to say, that's you problem.
Yeah, that's you.
They ain't the music. Motherfucker, that's you.
Marvin Gaye is one of the funniest looking musicians of all time, as far as not good looking, for as a certain, and he will drop any woman's panties in a heartbeat with his music. Mm-hmm. That's how beautiful that motherfucker's music is. Like, I was just listening to a few of his albums last week, and I said, this goddamn, I said, how did my clothes get off? What happened?
That's it. It was just vanished. Like, yeah, damn.
I was like, oh, damn, shit. Shit, sometimes it's like him, like Al Green. I got to hold it up in the air sometimes. I'm like, oh, my Lord, these two. I wish both of them were still alive to do some tracks in hip-hop as well, like you said, to do live performances or whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
We had some great artists back then, but that right there is how you sample a fucking song. That might be...
sample a song. That might be the greatest sample ever, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Could be.
Could be.
There's a lot of good, great samples out there.
Yeah.
That's definitely tops, for sure.
It's hard to pinpoint great samples because it feels like every song is a sample.
I think there's... I mean, there's periods throughout like the decades where it's like heavily sampled, but there's a lot of sample songs out there.
There's sample songs out there that you wouldn't even know was a sample of.
You wouldn't even realize. Fucking Daft Punk's, most of their albums is all fucking samples.
Yeah.
Especially the earlier albums. It's all samples.
Oh, yeah. Especially a lot of it on that third album that we didn't like, neither Robot Rock. Or whatever. That one.
Robot Rock, they didn't change a fucking thing. I like that song. They all added rock. That's all they added.
Yeah. Or you could take like good songs.
That's an example of a lazy ass sample. But look at that. Look at that song is so fucking good.
Or you could take good songs from them like Harder, Faster, Stronger and fuck it up like Kanye did. And, hey.
I actually like Stronger. I like that song. It's one of the best songs ever, but I like the song.
I hate that fucking song. That was on the Graduation album too, right?
Graduation. Yep.
I actually don't even mind that album either, but I hate that fucking song. I think that song is horrible.
I like the song. Yeah, I see why you don't like it.
But yeah, fuck that song. Yeah, fuck that song. That song suck a dick. Don't. It can suck Kanye's dick, actually. I don't like that Negro.
You know what? He would enjoy anymore. He might like it, might not. I don't even know.
He might find it unique. Don't even
know. Yep. He'll probably make a song out of it. Fuck sunk my dick, y'all.
Yeah, he said, I suck my own dick, and it tastes good. That's how much of a genius I am. It tasted like a genius, whatever. I can see the interview now. So did you spit or swallow? I swallowed my genius. Come on, man.
I totally see that.
Yeah, with his little fucking see-through gimp mask he be wearing and shit. What's wrong with that nigga?
The less said about Kanye, the better. I'll leave it there.
That is true, yeah. And he wants that, too. EPMD, though.
Love him. One of the greatest rap duos of all time. Legendary, highly influential. Hip hop would be the legendary movement it is today. It was for EPMD. I think they ushered the legacy, the worthiness of hip hop, if you will. Why it's here, why it transcends times, why it's still talked about even till this day. I think EPMD helped usher that legacy in. So that's why I love EPMD. That's my choice this week.
Buckets on low like Eric in Paris. Closed casket flow. All you need to get deaded. I was like, for Eminem to say that's his favorite group, I was like, that should have been his line. Yeah. I was like, man.
Eminem knows what's up, man.
Man, Nas.
Like, say what you want about Eminem, respect. He knows what's up.
Nas paid ultimate respect with that line. I was just like, yo, closed casket flow, all you niggas get dead. They don't want you to say. Like, I don't want to block trauma. So what you saying, nigga, you got to chill. Thinking you the truth, not for real. Being back to back with it, the hardest shit out of year. Remix.
Ain't nobody so fucking dope. Piece of shit flying your head like Mike Pence. Oh, dude, that back and forth is fucking crazy.
Who the fuck thought Eminem's verse was better than theirs on this? I was blown away when I heard that shit. I was like, y'all crazy if y'all thought Eminem.
Just the way the song is structured, bro. That back and forth is fucking nuts, man.
They haven't lost a beat on that, Kate. Because they used to do that on all the albums.
That is insane how good that song is. Bro,
we at the mafia table next to the kitchen. Eating Michelin star counting the million. Man, I even like Nas's line after where he sets up Eminem, where he's like, see it like red sauce and spaghetti letters and shit, because that was Eminem's line in 8 Mile or whatever.
Shit is ridiculous.
I love that track.
Good Lord.
That track is fire.
That is ridiculous, man. Come on. Yeah, come on now.
That flow cadence back and forth. That back and forth
was stupid, dude. So good.
That was a thing on all their albums that they used to do. When I heard that, I was just like, they ain't lost a beat yet.
Golly. Insane.
I love them. I love
chills.
And EPMD.
Oh, chills. But that's true fucking hip-hop right there, dude. Yeah. You know true hip-hop, we get hype for that shit. And this is chills like you fucking trying. What do you know?
This is like track number 3 on the album too. So I was just like, when I heard it, I was like, damn.
That shit is stupid fucking good, dude. Come on, man.
I didn't want to listen to KD 2 because KD 1 was so good. And I was just like, oh, man.
Right, yeah.
Don't fuck it. Then
like, Nas with APMD? Are you fucking kidding me?
And this was like track number 3. So I played it. I was like, it's better than the first album. And I was like, yeah. And then this song feeds off into Rare. And I was like, oh, God, this album is fucking genius right here. EPMD is fucking great. Man, oh, hey, you got the chill track there. That's
you got the chill. Destroying a ploy when you're robbing a void. Never sweating your girl. Why, big? She's a slave. When I'm on a
rappers, when you can understand what they're saying and they take those pauses and breath, those are called bars.
He is clear as fuck. I understand.
Bars.
Literally every word.
Bars. Bars. And you know that Strictly Business, that's like one of the most legendary album covers too, by the way. So when you see that album cover, you know what it is. Take the titles off of it, even take the group name off of it, whatever and shit, just have the album cover, whatever itself, you know what that is. This is what we just heard from Nas quote. So what you saying or whatever, you know? Back when he was looking like LL Cool J and shit.
Yep, Kango.
Yeah, the Kango. They got a track with LL Cool J too called Rampage. That was a dope ass track.
Yes, sir.
That's why I was always a New York lover when it came to music and stuff. Because
New York had much better talent than the West. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean,
West Coast is the best coast, but New York, as far as like talent wise, yeah.
Yeah. Hip-hop was birth and bred over there. I mean, it just got better over there. I mean, even like when you get into the later MCs, like your Jadakisses and DMXs and stuff like that, or whatever,
from New York.
I mean, they just had this like flow cadence to them. And then as you hear with this background beat or whatever, all the DJs came from. I mean, it was just fire, you know?
It was just, it's just like they feel like New York knows what hip-hop is.
Yeah.
I think they understand.
I think one of the, I know people are probably going to be like, it was Tupac or whatever, but I thought Ice Cube was like the closest as far as writing wise that came to a New York
writing style. Yeah, especially out of the entirety of NW. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, his writing was like, well, we saw what happened when he left NWA. They tracks didn't mean shit no more.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, Ice Cube fits in most with like the kind of mentality.
Yeah,
and you're
I always gave props and respect to Ice Cube, not because we were from the same neighborhood and stuff like that, but I thought his writing was just as far as his subject matter.
He definitely was head and shoulders above, I guess, pretty much everybody.
He was talking about basically what he saw in his community and stuff like that. And even in songs that have like no mean, like Today Was a Good Day or whatever. If you listen to that,
the storytelling was still great. So the way he put it together.
Yeah.
Still a great story. A simple story.
Honestly,
he told it.
That should have been a track on the Friday movie.
It could have been.
It literally could have been.
It would have worked perfectly.
Because as you see him riding around in Impala or whatever and stuff. If you grew up in L.A., Inglewood, Compton, Long Beach, or any of those areas at the Watts or at those time, whatever and stuff, that story was like, oh yeah, I see it.
It's the everyman kind of story. Like he just a dude waking up. Oh, he had a great day. He's just telling a story that fits Craig perfectly.
Yeah, so I always thought Ice Cube was the West Coast leader. I know some people would be like, no, it was Tupac. I thought Ice Cube was better than Tupac when it came to writing and stuff.
I agree with that. Yeah, so, I'm not big Tupac. Well, I think we clearly said that plenty of times.
Yeah.
I don't know about on this show, but at least the previous show, we say, Tupac's, he's fine. He's all right. I'm not the biggest Tupac fan.
I thought his best song was Dear Mama, to be honest, because I thought that was actually one of his realest songs that came from the heart and stuff. He's actually spitting some real shit. I think he's got some good singles out there.
He has great singles. As far as album, like all my friends, they're like huge Tupac fans. Fans. I bet they say
All Eyes on Me is a great fucking album. I think it's fine. I think All Eyes on Me was a terrible fucking album. That was a fucking terrible album. As far as
like the whole, oh, Biggie over Tupac. Yeah, I'll pick Biggie any day of the week over Tupac.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's a whole.
Anyway.
A whole other story. But I think Ice Cube fits in that realm. I would give him his credit. If I had ever put a West Coast rapper on there, on my list or whatever, it would most likely be Ice Cube.
I'm trying to think.
West Even Coast. Today, he still writes tracks like that or whatever. He has a track on a latest album.
Not too long ago.
It was called Good Cop, Bad Cop. And he's got one called Arrest the President, which was about Donald Trump. so he writes like that or whatever. Like, but he brings like that gritty, angry,
very angry,
or whatever, and stuff like that. He puts that like that gritty West Coast. Like, I'm in your face. You're gonna hear this shit no matter what. So you can tell with his style of writing, NWA was built around that, man. I mean, it had to be. It's no question about that. Whatever. So.
No question.
We'll see if NWA or Ice Cube makes this list coming in the future.
Huh? I have a good feeling.
I have a pretty good feeling about that too, actually.
I have a good feeling about that.
Cody, what are you celebrating with today? What are you?
Today, it is a celebration. It's anniversary month for The Last Drop, the best fucking podcast on the planet.
That's right.
Particularly in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Thank you for listening, folks. Love you all.
Yes.
Numbers
in Miami are higher than LA.
God damn it, Ellen. No, it's funny. Wouldn't it be some shit though?
Yeah, that would be funny.
This is not like a anniversary themed beverage per se. But the reason I chose this one is because I rarely buy red wine to bring back home and drink it at home. I don't do that a whole lot. Usually when I go out to bars, which is a good amount. I love my bars. I always sip some of the red vino of the red variety.
It is Easter Sunday, so you do got to drink the Jesus juice.
True. So I thought I would go with something special as far as like a bottle goes. I'm a big Cabernet Sauvignon guy. So I went to the store.
Speaking 5G over there, I see. Okay, yeah.
I am. Yeah. And I asked, what is the best cab you have available right now? And they recommended this one to me. And this one is... the Falcone, or Falcone, how you want to pronounce it.
Like the Batman villain. Yeah, it's a Falcone. That sounds classier.
This is their Family Vineyards 2019 Cabernet Sauvignon from Paso Robles. They have a lot of information in the back here. I appreciate this. They have the Appalachian, the actual mountains it came from. The Paso Robles Mountains and the Crescent.
Those mountains. Yeah, I remember that.
They have the varieties, the Cabernet Sauv 337. The vine age is 19 years old. Planting density.
Cody's favorite age.
1,038 vines per acre. Exposure is the south. Soils, clay, and lime over sandstone. Altitude, 1,250 feet. It was harvested the 22nd of October in 2019. And it was picked by hand. Crushed and inoculated. By hand, aged for 17 months in French and American oak barrels.
2019 was a good year.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a total of 564 cases of this right here.
I remember 2019 like it was yesterday. That was a great. Yeah,
it felt like yesterday.
Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah. Immediately. Coming in at 14.2% alcohol. So yes, so a lot of good stuff going on in this. Beverage right here, if you want to call it that. I'm pouring a little more right here. I've been sipping on this already throughout the show.
It's wine and thing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's wine and dining.
Obviously, the color red wine really doesn't differentiate in colors.
Yeah, what color is that red wine you're drinking?
Ruby red. Yeah, it's dark ruby red. That's what it is.
Well, hold on, let me look at that color some more though. Let me judge it. okay. All right.
Looks like grape juice. If you're not paying much attention, it literally looks like grape juice.
I don't know, Cody. I don't know if I'd go dark ruby red. I would go more.
Actually, it looks a lot more purple in the camera. That's weird.
Yeah, I think I would go.
It's lot more purple in the camera.
I think I would go. It
looks
red.
Like grape juice.
I would go with red as a sunset, perhaps, Cody. I don't know. Red is that notification that just popped up on my
red,
screen right
red
now.
Purplish. Red purplish thing going on. Aroma.
As red as Jesus' blood.
Ooh. Aroma slightly funky. Ooh. I'm going to get like a dark cherry note on that one. Little dark cherry.
That's Jesus. I get
the grapes. Oh, yeah, a good amount of that oak, too. Kind of like almost sweet kind of.
That's Jesus oak.
Oak tannin thing going on in there.
He died for your sins today.
Very pleasant smell. It doesn't smell too sweet. Not much stinking in your nose. No real over alcohol thing going on. Over alcohol sting. Very pleasant. I like the nose.
Like crusty.
Palate. Washes over nice.
Yeah.
Extremely dry.
Dry on the finish or the palate?
On the finish. Definitely dry on the finish. Yeah. Palate up front. Dark cherry grape.
Yeah, it's grapey, ain't it? Got that berry flavor.
Light. Sweet note. That's probably mostly from the dark cherry.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like a cherry plum.
This is a lot of dark cherry. Yeah, I get a little plum too. Here's a touch. Not a whole lot of cacao powder back there, like cacao notes.
Like cocaine.
Cacao nibs.
Cocaine. Yeah, usually those Cabernets, they usually almost always have the same ingredients, but a little bit of hint of something stronger and a more.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's what I'm getting. Yeah, it's like real deep dark cherry, cacao nibs on the finish, kind of like a dusty aftertaste.
It's got a bitter aftertaste or what?
Oh, it's more bitter in the middle.
Oh, okay.
I'll say the middle is bitter, yeah.
Bitter is positive for wine, people, by the way.
Yeah, it's not like overly bitter, but it is a nice touch of bitterness.
Sure, you're bitter, they probably like runs them away. Trust
yeah.
me. Bitter's good.
Not much. Yeah, it's not overly alcoholic. Easy
What's the
drinking,
percentage on
at least
that,
for
man?
Me.
Was that like a
14.2?
14.2
okay. percent alcohol.
I would have given it 15%, yeah. But all right, 14, that's not bad.
Yeah, like I said, the more I'm drinking this, the more I'm getting that oak in the bottom of the middle, the on the finish.
Jesus,
nice little oaky, almost vanilla overtones.
Yeah,
this is a good cap. I like this.
How long is that finish length? Like dry and long or medium?
Oh, it keeps going.
Oh, okay.
He keeps going. It's a long finish.
Oh,
long finish.
That's Jesus finish.
Very, very drying. As I guess this is Jesus finish.
Yeah. It's his holiday. It's his holiday, Cody. You need to do.
Yeah, that's true.
You need
that's
to thank true. Him for that drink you drinking on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
For this red wine, for this water that you turned into wine.
Yeah. No, that's his blood.
That so he can do that. Apparently, give me that goddamn superpower shit. I'll be set.
That's
his, turn all water into wine. I'll be good to go.
That's his blood you tasting from when he got put up on that cross.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
This is a really good wine. Nothing. In the blow of mine.
What you pay
very
on that?
Good though. $40. $40 for
not bad.
A nice wine, age 17 months, vine age 19. Yeah, I would say this is a pretty good wine. Nothing blowing my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would get this. Give me one more sip. Hold on.
I'm thinking 2.5-3 area.
I'm gonna stick with 2.5.
Yeah.
I'm rock with a 2.5 on this. Really good wine. Knows what it's doing, gets the job done. Mm-hmm. Nothing blowing my mind, but when you want something that's not too crazily priced, $40, good flavors in here, good winery, I'm assuming. It's my first time trying them. Good stuff so far. Like I said, nothing crazy for the price, nothing crazy. I've had better wines, in my opinion, that are actually below this price range. That's kind of where I also dock off points for it.
I also assume, too, is where you dock off points is, will I buy this again for $40?
I would not.
See,
I wouldn't buy this again for $40.
Yeah, that's where it would drop to
like
the
2.5. Like I said, there's better wines for around the $20 range. Mm-hmm. That would be like, oh, yeah, I would take this over that. Yeah, especially when you get into like stuff that's like, in the $40 to $50 range, going above that, you want something that's going to be like you're going to remember. Like,
yeah.
You want something that's like, oh, okay, this is.
Yeah,
I'm not going to remember this one. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to remember this one. It's good. But I'm not gonna remember this.
What could that bottle use more of as far as flavor notes are to make it get to 3.5?
I would like more complexity because it's kind of like the notes are there, they're good, but it's not too complex. There's not too much going on here.
What you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah, sometimes it could be like just fine for just an everyday pour, but it just comes off when you say that. Anyone that said it just comes off like a generic.
Like this is a fine wine. Like I'm not mad, especially for like a one off my first time trying to $40. Not bad.
Yeah.
Would I spend $40 again for this? No. Like I said, there's better sub $20-$30 wines I've had.
So that bottle comes off as a $26 bottle, then basically what you're saying.
Yeah, 20. Oh, 25. 25 is a good price for this. Two and a half. That's perfect rating for this. Very good wine. Not crazy about it. I've had better at a lesser price range. I wouldn't spend $40 on this again. I'm being quite honest, I wouldn't. If you see this at a bar, depending on the price for a glass, I would check it out. I would spend more than $10 for this.
I was gonna say, I bet it's $15 at a bar.
I will most likely, but I want to spend more than 10 or 11 for this. Yeah. It's not worth it. No.
I'm thinking it's about between $15 to $18 a pour in a glass.
I would say so, probably given, I wouldn't spend more than $10, $11 for a glass for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, decent pour. Once again, this is the Falcone 2019 Cabernet Sauvignon. Pelion Paso Robles, give that 2.5.
He's speaking FRG decent again, pour. People.
Great, not legendary. Like I said, if you had a bar, I wouldn't spend more than $11 on this glass. And that's about it.
What's your favorite note on that gun, that bottle?
On the bottle?
Yeah, give me a positive note on that. Your most favorite thing on the bottle itself, as far as palate, finish.
Aroma is really good.
Aroma.
Really good aroma. Mm. I like the front and the middle of this palate the most. Like the little cocoa notes and all that in the back end. It's fine. I wish it was more prominent. It's lasting, but it's not like big in your face.
It's got no uniqueness to it.
No, I would say up front, so we get that dark cherry, like deep kind of grapey notes. And honestly, I could go for deeper, especially given the price range for it. Yeah, but it's like I said, it's good. I would say it's one of those it gets the job done type pours.
Sounds like that's that was more richer. Know what it is.
Have more oomph.
Yeah.
Have more bang for your buck, more in your face.
I was thinking of what you could have did.
Good. It's good. All these kids are good.
I was thinking of what you could
do. I'm not knocking this beer at all.
Improve it or whatever, but I assume that would change the whole recipe of the damn thing, like adding chocolate or something like that or whatever into it and stuff. But
I'm very grateful that they put all this information on the back, though, like the mountain range and the Ace Ridge.
Also, that mountain stuff stand is what you're saying.
All this. Well, for this particular varietal, yes. Whatever this is, that's the thing too, dude. It's just like beer. It always changes. The hops, the plants, same thing with tequila, the agave plants. Alcohol is an ever evolving thing, man. So you never know what you're gonna get.
So your next wine bottle,
it also makes it fun.
Your next wine bottle, when you see that mountain on there, you're gonna put that motherfucker back on the shelf then, huh?
Paso Robles, yeah. wait. Which mountain range is that? Is it a pit? No, I'm good.
He at the bar. He's swirling his wine around, and he's like, oh. And then as soon as he takes his first sip, the bartender says, oh, that's from the PH mountain or whatever. He goes,
because I've tried some great stuff from Paso Robles, but. This is good. It's not great as the stuff I've tried from Paso Robles. Like the Napa Valley stuff I've tried.
Yeah.
Make the feet fire. But Paso Robles has been pretty good.
So you basically saying
it's fine.
This is not a good bottle for a celebration then. What you're saying.
No, it's not.
Damn.
No, I would definitely venture out. If you have to pay more, by all means pay more. Like if you're getting flavor for what you pay for, fuck yeah, I would do that. But like I said, there's cheaper wines than this that taste better than what this is going for.
So
like I've had like $20 to $30 range.
So if this was your best Buzz wedding, your best Buzz wedding, and you brought this wine thinking it was gonna be extravagant, and you pop that cork open, pour a little glass for him, for you, you toast off each other and you took that first sip, you basically would be like,
hey, you know the craziest thing about wine, man, more than like all the other spirits and beer, whatever, you can say, oh, you get what you pay for. Wine, not so much.
Yeah.
In my experience so far, wine, there's a lot of good, well-priced, sub-$30 wine I've tried that's better than the shit you got to pay like out the ass for.
Oh, I got to tell you, I only drink cheap wine, so... So I only drink cheap wine, so
yeah, because like the difference is fucking minimal. Like I don't think I've yet had a like $20 glass per glass type wine that's like just better than like $11 glass per wine.
I think yet,
at least
the wine that I drink, because I drink a lot of port wine, and port wine's pretty fucking pricey, honestly, or whatever.
Yeah,
like really, realistically, the Otima is probably the cheapest fucking port wine out there, to be honest.
And it's probably still the best too.
but they got some ones out there like the Sandman. That port wine is fucking phenomenal, and I think like a bottle of that is $60-$70 or whatever and shit.
Okay, that's not too bad.
There's another one. There's the Fonteca 10, I believe. That one cost me like 90 something or whatever, and that motherfucker gone because that was delicious. So. But yeah, but port wine, that's known for its prices like that. Red wine is so universally out there, or whatever, that you can get it in any price range or whatever and shit. Port is kind of very limited on finding, per se. You'll find the same brands.
Yeah, port is not it's not readily available, I would say.
In America for sure, no. You know, I shouldn't even say
which
America.
Is
California is not, is, I should say that.
Yeah, and which is fine because we still find it. You know, port's not popular out here, so that's why we're good. Yeah, no.
Port is more popular.
I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, port is more popular than the East Coast, like your Maine's, New York's, and stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's more like cold weather European.
Yeah, and then in Portugal, obviously, I mean, I had so much fucking port wine out there. I mean, it was.
Else would you drink?
I had never heard of some of the wines out there until I went out there. I mean, matter of fact, that was where I found
shit, now I'm wanting to go to Portugal. Fuck.
That's where I found Novel Black.
Oh, that was my first experience with port wine.
Yeah, I told you you was going to love that. I was like, you're going to love this shit right here. That's a good bottle. So yeah, there's some expensive ones, but my red wine, I'm not going to lie, I drink cheap with red wine.
Yeah, there's a lot of good cheap brand wine out there. There's tons, man. Yeah. Like I said, there's not one expensive glass I've had that's like, oh, head and shoulders above the shit you spend like $11 for. Nothing.
I've been kind of having an open mind of when it comes to rosé and Zinfandels lately or whatever. Because my colleague,
there was a really good Zinfandel I had one day, dude. I'm not big on Zinfandels, but there was one I had. I was like, it tastes like a cab. That's probably why I like it so much.
There was one I had too that was actually really good, but I'm like you, I'm not a fan of the Zinfandels too much. The rosés, I'm starting to kind of get into.
Rosés. I'm not big on rosés. Like the lighter wines, I don't really fuck with. But
I like their presentations.
They have their place. Yeah. They're not bad, but I definitely prefer reds for sure.
I have a colleague. All she drinks whenever we have our meetings and stuff is the rosé. So I'm getting.
More acclimated with the rosé.
Acclimated with the rosés.
That's
and stuff.
Good. Yeah.
And she's very helpful in that matter or whatever. And she did have one good one or whatever. And it was a cheap one too. It was $11 for that bottle. Mm-hmm. The bottle was beautiful as shit or whatever. But if I was to rate that one, I'd probably give it like a 2. Because it's a good everyday pour, but nothing unique or special or anything.
Nothing
like
crazy.
Good for a big wide variety of people to be there or whatever that anyone could sip on and not feel any kind of buzzness on it or whatever. But my red wines, like you said, dude, I don't think the most expensive red wine I think I've ever had was probably $30, maybe.
Yeah. I don't think you need to spend crazy amounts for, you know, especially from what I've tried so far. Nah, you don't.
And also red wine. I've been drinking red wine for a very fucking long time. A long fucking time. There's a lot of them out there.
There's tons. Tons of varietals. In the mountain ranges, yeah. To the wineries.
Sometimes you're taking a huge fucking gamble if you want to spend $90 plus on a red wine.
That's what I'm saying. Like beer, you could kind of take those gambles.
Oh,
beer
dude,
is not too crazy price wise.
You go to
compared
fucking
to wine.
you get a sampler brew, glass of beer or whatever shit. That shit is like $6.
And beer, just like wine, it always changes because the hop varietals, weather, the season, same thing with wine, the grapes, plants, it always changes. You never know what you're going to get. But beer is less of a chance because less of a gamble because it's cheaper. That's it.
Way fucking cheaper. The cheapest fucking drink out there. Except for that Goose Island drink that Cody loves.
Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about that. that's Voldemort. We don't speak its name. Still on that shelf. We don't talk about the beer, sir.
It's still on that shelf if you want it, though. Or I'm sorry, in that box.
Fuck. It's still in that box. It's not even on a fucking shelf.
It's not on a shelf. It's in a box.
It's deserves the goddamn shelf.
Right next to the cigars.
Okay, I can't say this enough times. Fuck Bourbon County. How about I say Bourbon County?
Bourbon County. Bourbon County. I was like, oh, damn. Shit.
Fuck that beer. And it deserves to be on fucking on the ground. Not even on a fucking shelf. Fuck that beer. Anyway, get that out the way.
Well, if you want it, it's around, so...
Like I said, I will do a re-review in November if y'all want that. I'll do a re-review. I'll do it.
Yeah, we do.
See if it gets better.
Yeah, you should. It's sitting on a shelf.
I want it.
Cody, it's sitting in the box.
Obviously, it's easy to find, so it won't be a problem.
Yeah, it's sitting in the box for a year. It should get better.
Yeah. I would hope. Like, oh, this is the beer y'all are trying. Oh, okay. I hope I get that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I better for that fucking price. And it being a fucking 30th anniversary beer. The fuck out of here. The fuck?
Hey, man. Anniversary.
All right. I still feel some type of way about that beer.
Hey, anniversary. It's our anniversary.
Can you imagine if I reviewed that shit? I'm glad I got that shit out the way. Because it was like the actual anniversary month of the show. That would have been worse.
I'd love it, Dan. I think that'd be hilarious. I'd love that shit. So, all right, people. We're going to get out of here. Going to go do some work. Catch up on some playoffs, or
I gotta finish this bottle.
Play in, I should say, not
play in.
Yeah, play in. So, fucking Clippers.
fuck them,
sons of fucking bitches. So yeah, we're gonna get out of here. We'll be back next week for Mix and Match Week.
Mixing.
Yeah, it'll be the 4 year anniversary of Mixing.
That's right. That's a long fucking time.
I remember that first Mixing and Matching. We put that coffee and that Nika.
That Nika and that old Rasputin.
That old Rasputin Nika or whatever, and just said, fuck it. No, mix them together.
That's the last job cocktail.
That was the official first one, and it was fucking delicious. It was.
I think you call that a Boilermaker. I think that's how you properly. I think it's from my knowledge. I don't know. But
I got to tell you, we never tell each other what we drinking. Rather, we did it in person or via Zoom here or whatever and stuff. And you couldn't have received or gotten a better mix and match that week of two.
Especially for a spontaneous. We weren't planning anything. Let's make this a cocktail. Hey, you like craft beer? Hey, you love whiskey. All right, cool. Let's combine these two things. It worked out.
And not only that.
And you know what's crazy? I think we make it even better now, especially for that cocktail experience we've had.
And Cody had the perfect beer with that matched my whiskey.
It worked perfectly.
And it just, because that beer had a lot of coffee notes in it. And obviously this was called Nika Coffee.
Coffee, chocolate.
And so it was like, mix them together, see what happens. So it was like the perfect unannounced two different spirit drinks or whatever you may call it, or coming together and mixing and matching basically. So I don't think you're ever going to hit lightning in a bottle like that again, because God, you know how many spirits there are and stuff, and that's beer hard, and wine, dude, and stuff.
And now it was spontaneous as it gets.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, he didn't tell me he was picking Old Rasputin. Even if he did, I wouldn't have known what Old Rasputin was at the time anyway, whatever stuff. So, and I had no plans on picking Nika or anything like that, so it just happened. But it just worked well with those two pours right there. That might be like, there might be like three or four times on here that we've had like some similar drinks to each other, as far as like the notes were almost the same, to where you could probably pour them together and they probably taste fantastic or whatever. But yeah, that was the very first one of Mix and Match, and that was a very legendary episode or whatever. That was 2019,
right?
Was it 18 or 19?
It was 19.
Yeah, 19.
Yeah, 4 years. 19.
Yeah, 19. Yeah. Damn, that was a great year then.
That was a great year before everything went to shit.
So, we'll be back next week with Anniversary Edition. And
Mixed Match. Oh, it's gonna be fun, man. I can't wait to see what we come up with.
I might have to pull out the big boy because Cody over here talking about the 30th anniversary, so I might have to pull out the
I hope it's bigger than that boy.
Yeah. It's much bigger than that boy. Yeah, that boy ain't
that boy
good.
Trash.
That boy ain't good.
No, that boy is not good.
No.
Ooh, no, sir.
But this 30 boy, that 30 boy over there, that boy good.
I think I know what you're talking about.
That boy good.
The other 30 boy.
That other 30 is good. That boy good.
That boy good. That boy got talent.
That boy got talent. That boy don't play. We'll see. Yeah. So, people, I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of wine, Cody.
And like we always say, glasses will never be dry.
You fucked that all up.
I know. I was looking at this empty bottle over here, and I was like,
I saw like, you were searching before you finished, and you're looking like, am I saying this? Before the words even came out, your eyes, I saw your eyes, you're like, damn, your eyes already knew you fucked up. Before the words came out, you knew you fucked up.
I looked at this bottle and said, I didn't drink all of this while we was recording this. I was like, what the fuck?
You said glasses would never be dry.
Damn.
It happens, brother. Hey.
Jesus.
Great moment.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw your eyes shifting because you knew. You're like, wait, should I say this before that you even finished?
I started staring at this Blue Run bottle that I've been pouring since we started recording. And I was like,
glasses. And you had a little pause too. Never be dry.
Damn. I'm an alcoholic.